Welcome back to the Marketplace. This is our look at the NBL's free agency period, and we are at the start of July, and it's a very interesting stage. We've got some teams who are just about locked and loaded for NBL 25, and we've got some others who are about to head to Summer League and do some serious, serious shopping. I'm Jack Heverin, Derek Rucker alongside me. Ruck, great to have you in the Marketplace studio, and we've got some teams, as I said, that are nearly ready to go and others that have still got a lot of work to do.
Well, Jack, it's great to be back. And we're just over halfway through the offseason. There's been so many great moves and it's been an exciting offseason. But now it's time to build up to the start of the regular season. And there's still some moves to be made. But today we're going to look at what has been done and where teams can continue to improve their opportunity to compete for a title.
Well, let's jump straight into the big story of the last couple of days, and that is Jalen Adams returns to the Sydney Kings. Now, it was only last week, as we can see the Kings depth chart here, it was only last week that there were suggestions that Jalen wouldn't be coming back and potentially even Adelaide as a new home. But the Kings and their front office, as they've shown time and time again, they get deals done.
They're familiar with Jalen Adams. We understand that he is an MVP impact type player anytime he takes the floor. Now, last season, we did not see the best of him, but the Kings have decided to go back with him again, and I'm all for the move. I think it's outstanding. They know what he's about, and they understand under this coach, Brian Goorjian, we've sung his praises, and deservedly so, but Brian Goorjian is not going to present the same problems that Jalen Adams had last year with the coach. And not to say that I'm absolving Jalen from any responsibility or accountability with what happened last year at Sydney, but sometimes players and coaches, and in particular, point guards and coaches, don't see eye to eye, and some athletes can be adversely impacted by that failed relationship. That's what we saw with Adams. That won't be the case this season in Sydney. He'll be back to an MVP level.
Try and help us understand a little bit, if you can, the player-coach conversation, because Brian Goorjian is his own man. We know that. You know that better than most. What sort of man-to-man conversation do you think would have gone on between Goorjian and Jalen before they pulled the trigger on this?
I was recruited by Brian Goorjian 20, 25 years ago, and he is a master recruiter. He knows everybody's game. He knows your weaknesses, and he is direct and forthright in his assessment in how he can make you a better player. I guarantee you he did that with Jalen Adams. And all the reporting was saying that Jalen was close to signing with Adelaide. I can assure you, Brian Goorjian went back to Jalen, worked through whatever issues may have existed, was clear about what he expects from his point guard, and now this is the result. Jalen now is the head of a dynamic Sydney Kings outfit.
This, and you can see here, this roster that's assembled right now is very, very good. There's no two ways to go about this. They don't want for anything, do they?
They don't. And everyone laughed at me. We did the free agency program here a month, 6 weeks ago, and I said the Sydney Kings are going to be in the championship series next season. This was before they even started to add more free agency pieces. That team right there, that team's going to the championship series. I will walk from Brisbane to Perth if they don't make it into the championship series. An outstanding job by everyone involved down there. And that's the way you bounce back from adversity or from a bad season. If you're a top-level franchise, you don't mess around and bring everybody back and hope things get better. No, you act, you're progressive, and you get it done. And that is a banging lineup.
What would you say to those who have now looked at this Sydney roster and said, that's all great, but there's only one ball out there?
No, that's a fallacy. Guys learn to play together. You have one of the most unselfish and hardworking superstars right there in that PF, and Xavier Cooks, a grand final champion. He's been there twice. He's an MVP of the league. He's gone over. He's been in the NBA. He's experienced basketball. He is a more seasoned professional for having experienced some time away from the Sydney Kings. We see what he's doing with the Boomers. I think he's going to make the Olympic team. And you're just getting a top character, not only player, but person in Xavier Cooks to go along with Jalen Adams, your lead guard.
So that right there is your championship contender as we stand here in early July?
No doubt. The formula for years of success in the NBL, you can go back three or four decades. Do you have the one covered? Tick. Do you have the four covered? tick. And the shooting guard is outstanding. Bullqual is a guy who I believe has NBA capabilities. Alex Toohey, outstanding next star. We know what his potential is. And Cam Oliver may have been one of the most exciting imports that we've seen in the past 10 years.
Oh, I can't wait for this Sydney team when they assemble later in the season. To the Illawarra Hawks. Now, Gary Clark's been the topic of conversation from the moment free agency opened. Mm. We'll get to him very, very shortly, but there hadn't been a lot of talk around about what the Hawks were going to do next. They went out there and they got themselves Trey Kell, who is a proven commodity in this league. We've seen him play now with a couple of teams. And if you go back to the back end of the season, Derek, with Adelaide, where he played a more true point guard position, he and DJ Vasiljevic really worked together. So the question for me straight up, how do Tyler Harvey and Trey Kell work together here?
Well, a lot of that is based on the flexibility, the intelligence, and the high-character basketball player that Tyler Harvey is. He is willing to do whatever is required. We saw an improvement and a progression in his basketball game, especially in the finals last season. He is an underrated star in this competition. Now, Trey Kell, we have him listed there at the point guard position, but he and Harvey can flip-flop. In fact, Kell can play all the way up to the small forward into the three. And keep in mind, they have Hickey, they have Hyungjung Lee. They have a lot of versatility in that first five through there. And with Dan Greta hopefully starting to work his way back to some level of decent health, he's a dark horse. He can come in and be an impact at any moment. This is a high-energy team. We saw Froehling be one of the best players in the finals last season. He went to work on the Melbourne United big, so we know what level he is. He's going over to play some NBA Summer League, so he's going to come back with a lot of confidence. Again, the Illawarra Hawks, I have them in the six. They're strong, they're young, and they're exciting.
21-7-4 with Trey Kell's numbers in the last nine games of the season when he played for Adelaide, where he did play a more traditional and true point guard role, a bit of a hybrid, albeit, but does it surprise you that Illawarra have gone this way, given that they have had Justin Robinson and we kind of saw Tyler Harvey have more success in the two? Does it surprise you that they haven't gone for a true and traditional point guard?
Well, I believe that Tatum believes in his guy's ability just to play basketball. I like Trey Kell from the moment he stepped into the competition. He had bad luck when he was with the Phoenix with his injuries.
Yep.
Last year, as you pointed out, he went through a tear there where he and DJ Vasiljevic were the backcourt for a while for probably 6 to 7 rounds of the season, and he featured prominently. So I'm not concerned about his ability to play with a high usage guard because he's shown he can do that. I don't really think he's an alpha per se, but at times he can play your lead dog. Now, what do they do at that powered four situation?
That's the glaring gap now, isn't it?
That's a gap. Gary Clark would have put this team at a level that was very high, where a lot of other teams would start to shake and shiver. Mm. But can they go out in the open market? Can they go to Vegas and find an import at Summer League that can come and fill that spot?
If they do, and let's assume that it's not Gary Clark at this stage, but if they do go and land a real blue chip man at the four position, are they a top four team again, or are they even better than that?
I think they're a top four team. Justin Tatum is going to be more comfortable with what he's trying to do. He put in some things last season that worked. They were very close. They were very close in that Melbourne United series of knocking them off, which would have been a fantastic achievement. But keep in mind, the Tatum family right now is rolling.
Oh, are they ever?
They're rolling.
Also very rich.
You always got to be in other people's money. I'm just talking about how they feel as humans, you know, the confidence. You can just see them emanating positivity. He's going to come back over here off of the tremendous success his son is having, not to mention the networking he's probably doing over there. He can fill that spot quite easily.
Keep an eye on Lachie Olbrich as well. Just remember that we said this is absolutely starring in the NZNBL at the moment, so he'll be better for the offseason as well. So the Illawarra Hawks are in good shape at the moment. The Perth Wildcats, they've been sitting back and been pretty patient of recent times. They've got an import slot that we'll get to shortly as well. But the big signing for them in the last few days has been Ethan Almanza, who took himself out of the NBA draft, is now going to be a part of the Next Stars program heading into NBL 25. And much like Alex Saar, he's not there to take up a spot. He's there to play a role in this team.
Well, I did a lot of research this morning, was speaking to a couple of NBA executives, and they feel that upon arrival in Perth, that Almanza will be better positioned to have an impact than Alex Saar was at the same time. Now, they're not saying that his ceiling is as high as Saar's. Saar, who is now a member of the Washington Wizards, number two overall pick in this season, in this offseason's draft. But this might suit the Wildcats better from a playing perspective and impact spot. It took Saar time to kind of figure his way out. If Almanza's a little bit more seasoned and can provide 10 to 20 minutes of really good basketball, 20 minutes on the high side, 10 on the minimum per game, then this roster is really good. I thought there were times last year where Saar's inexperience kind of showed, and that's to be expected. He was only 18 years old. But with Almanza a little bit more seasoned, this might really suit the Wildcats very well. Obviously, they brought Doolittle back. There's not much change in that first five. And while we were probably tainted by what we saw Tasmania do to them in the semifinal, make no mistake, they were a good team all season.
Yeah.
They were really good all season. I still think they might be a little bit vulnerable if Pinder gets hurt, though.
And that's the thing. When you're doing the depth charts, there'll be some people looking at this going, oh, I would have this person here. And it is tricky to try and fit everyone in. We've kind of got five players here in slots that there's a lot of flexibility. That was my question to you, though, Ruck, is in and around that four spot, you could easily slide Christian Doolittle up to the four, and we saw him do that this year at times. But do they need a little bit more support with an import four-man or a backup five kind of thing, just to make sure that, because if Pinder goes down, then it's Almanza and a bunch of small guys after that. So is that where the biggest concern is?
Yeah, and last playoff series against Tasmania, when Pinder got hurt in game two, from that point on, Perth was minus 31 against Tasmania. So it shows you how important he was. Again, I'm going to say it, and I thought Pinder was first team All-NBL last year. He cops a lot of negativity. I don't know why, but that guy carries a significant burden out there in Perth, and he continually delivers for one of the top teams in the competition. But because he carries all of that physical burden, Jack, he's vulnerable. He's vulnerable to injuries. So I would like to see a useful, big, beefy guy as an import come in there, take a little bit of pressure off of Almanza, and then you have more versatility through here with Harris and Wagstaff. He was brilliant. Harris was great when John really decided to put him into the lineup. The other thing is we got to see some development here. I like these guys.
That guy,
Henschel and Harris are very good basketball players. John really hasn't shown a liking to go with his young players, which I get. Not all coaches are into playing the young bloods, but I think it's time to give these guys an opportunity to see what they can do. And again, I talk about that physical burden. They need to keep Bryce Cotton fresh down the stretch end of the season.
I think this team is crying out for a bit of offensive spark and a bit of shooting. Michael Harris gives you the shooting. Henschel gives you the spark. Love to see more of them coming into this season.
I agree. And, you know, Aquera, again, I can throw him in here with this group. Somebody's got to come out of there and make a difference to that lineup. Not only for this season, but going forward, as we know, Jesse Wagstaff, we'd love to have him back. But realistically, you know, this is probably Jesse's swan song.
Perth are in good shape. You can see there that they've got Summer League on the horizon with one more spot to fill, and what they do there. They've got some options. They've got some decisions to make as well. Southeast Melbourne Phoenix told us right from the start of free agency, don't worry about Jordan Hunter and don't worry about Derek Walton Jr. They will be with us when NBL 25 starts. Well, our understanding, and it was reported late last week, is that those Asia outs have expired. So both Jordan Hunter and Derek Walton Jr. will line up in NBL 25. Now that we know they're going to be there, Ruck, and you look at the roster for the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, we had a lot of what-ifs because we weren't sure that they were there. Now that they are, it's in good shape.
This is a dangerous lineup. And this addition right here, Derek Walton Jr., I talked about the importance of having the one and the four in place. Tommy Greer, Mike Kelly, Simon Mitchell, they've done a good job of ensuring that that is concrete right there. One of the best Australian players in the competition, and Derek Walton Jr., a man who's won a championship in Sydney and a stabilizer, not only a talented player, but a stabilizer. And when you talk about a stabilizer, who is that going to impact the most in this lineup and perhaps throughout the competition this season? There's one man, Nathan Sobey, one of the most talented, athletic, and polarizing players in the competition. But when that guy gets cooking, I got a chance to watch him for years in Brisbane. There are very few players that can reach the heights that Nathan can. And I think the way it's panned out, when he first signed there, things didn't look as promising for him personally. Yeah. But now, the way the roster has shaped, Nathan Sobey is in a great situation to excel.
They've got two import spots left. Now, they may choose not to use all of them. We don't know.
I hope they do. What are they waiting on?
Well, they may not, depending on what the finances look like for some of their signings as well. But
are we living in a poor country?
There's a lot of things I could say there. Have you seen interest rates lately? Or petrol or anything else? But is it that spot there? And, well, more to the point, I think we know it is. Does that spot need to be a defensively-minded kind of player, like an Antonius Cleveland or a Justin Simon type, as an example, because they got a lot of scoring out of their other starters?
You know what? I'd be trying to put DJ Hogue in there.
Oh.
Then you've got the versatility. You can flip-flop these guys right here. Hogue is a guy who can be your main man. We saw him do that for stretches at Cairns. Unfortunately, his Sydney stint was curtailed by the shoulder injury. He never got himself going. And Sydney can be a really tough place to play when you're not well, when you don't get flowing. There's a lot of noise, and not all players handle that well. I think this is a perfect place where he can redeem himself. Again, I'm not sure what the finances look like. I'm not sure how much they're willing to spend. But if we take that out of it and we look purely at the basketball makeup, man, you put a DJ Hogue, or as you said, an Antonius Cleveland, someone who's a bit more defensive-minded, because there have been murmurings, oh, who's going to guard, blah, blah, blah. I don't think they're really worried about all of that right now. I think they just want to get some wins and start to build some momentum again in a positive direction and show that fan base out in the heartland that this is a team that's going to be in the playoffs.
Any concerns in the five spot?
None. I love Jordy Hunter. He's durable, but what do we do right here in the backup?
That's kind of more what I'm referencing.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty easy spot to fill. How that shapes up, I don't know. But, you know, or maybe you can go a local, try and get a local three and then go with an import here. You know, there were times last year where I actually preferred, I know it didn't happen a lot, but I think Jordy Hunter really excels coming off the bench. We had that whole Jonah Bold and Jordy Hunter discussion numerous times in the telecast last Sunday. But Jordy Hunter is an excellent player and someone, again, who I think, being away from Sydney, he'll be challenged to play away from home for the first time, and I think he'll really excel.
And then last of the teams to follow here on the marketplace today, there have been a few other teams who have got some summer league moves to make, and we'll get to them shortly. But it is just worth touching on Adelaide, mainly because they were reported to be one team to be very interested in Jalen Adams. Now, they've boosted their off-court side of things and their assistant coaching ranks, but it is worth looking at the Adelaide roster as it stands right now, Derek, because when we talk about summer league and moves to be made, the next couple of moves for the 36ers are crucial.
And again, we get into the possibility of, are there financial constraints? And if so, then the word that I'm hearing is that they're only going to sign two imports in that power forward and that point guard position. And if they get those right, I think that's enough. This is a team that's going to be very competitive. They'll be relying on some guys to produce and stay healthy. Got to stay healthy. Can you produce over a 28-game season? As a starter. We saw patches where he got off to a really good start last year with Cairns, and then for one reason or another, it died off a little bit. The bench is solid. And as I referred to with the Perth young guys, when is he going to make his move? He's got to shoot the ball better. And Kadi looked really good going into the preseason, got hurt, and his season was kind of derailed. And then at one point, they said, we don't want you anymore. We remember the whole benching exercise, which you loved. Yeah. And then he wound up starting the last game of the season. So you take that for what it's worth. But Adelaide have done a really good job. It appears the basketball front office stuff is in place. Matt Weston has come in. I think he's given it some stability. He's given it some direction. And hopefully that's going to provide a bit of positivity and some confidence from the basketball community in South Australia to that 36ers organization.
I think, I mean, obviously we're looking at the rosters as they stand right now, and you can see the two spots still to be filled. But would it be fair to say, Derek, that they've got to start well, Adelaide, just with a little bit of that carryover momentum that Scott Ninnis generated last year, getting Isaac back, getting DJ locked away again as well, obviously. How important is their start to the season? They don't have to be 8-1, but just be 500 after the first 6 or 7 weeks.
And I agree with you. And also winning your home games, taking care of business at home, which is what they did very well down the stretch. So if they can win 80% of their home games and 40% of their road games, they're going to be in a very, very good position by the time we get to the last two or three rounds of the season.
So now all roads lead to Summer League, which is not that far away. I guess the other big one that we didn't get a chance to talk about, Derek, is Melbourne United. Got some opportunities potentially at the five spot.
Well, Melbourne United did a great job last year bouncing back from the disappointment and making it to the championship series, where we know they were knocked over by Tasmania. And now they've got to find a way to lift and get themselves back into contention to be able to beat Sydney, to be able to go with Tasmania. But they've got the infrastructure in place. They're going to go out and find themselves the bigs. I believe they need two.
Yeah.
Now, where does that come from? Man, I would love to see the Knicks be like, you know what, Ariel Helporti, go over there, go back over there and play one more year. We're going to stash you in Melbourne for 1 year. That'd be great. We all loved Ariel. He's a fantastic player and a great person.
That would be fantastic. Can you just put a phone call into the Knicks and see if you can make that happen?
I'll work on it.
You got a contact there, I'm sure. As I mentioned, all roads now lead to Summer League. Our own Pete Hooley will be on the ground right throughout Summer League. And you can check it all out at nbl.com.au and the NBL social media channels. And if anything happens during Summer League, you will hear it there, and you will also hear it on the marketplace each and every week. Ruck, great to see you. Thank you for being here today.
It's great to be back, and let's go. Let's get this season here. We're only about 2 months away.
I know. When we're looking at rosters and they're almost full, you can't help but get very, very excited, I think.
It's big time.
Thanks for being with us on the marketplace. As I mentioned, nbl.com.au and all of the NBL social media channels is where you need to go. We'll catch you next time.